Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
That's right, and we're back. It's In This League, InThisLeague.com. That is Scott Bogman right there. Say hi, Scott.
Hi.
I'm Chris Welsh, a.k.a.
Hi,
the Welsh.
Hi.
You can find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh and at Bogman Sports. Them be the handles that you can follow and have all the fun and shenanigans that we have.
Shenanigans?
Mm-hmm. And patreon.com/ITL Army if you want to. It's a support system for us in the In This League pods. It's incredible the amount of content we put out. And we try really hard to not regurgitate information. I think we do a good job about it. But, I mean, we do, Bogman, we do at least 8 to 10 hours of content a piece on a given week. Does that sound about right?
There's a lot of Bogman and the Welsh to go around. There's more than enough to go around. Yeah. We do more hours in a week than Julian Edelman will have games in this season.
You're just not going to let that go. You're not going to let that go. Even though
I'm
70%.
Willing to die on the Julian Edelman will be hurt hill. I mean, I'm willing to die on it.
That's an appropriate one. 68% say nay, Bogman. Yeah. Nee. They say.
Yeah, I'm sure the majority has been wrong in the past. So.
Yeah. Well, again, when you get him as a wide receiver four with very, very little, you're dealing with very little risk when he's not a starter and that upside.
I just want you to have like one DJ Moore share, so you'll have to root for him at some point this year. And then just remember when he has a huge game, like, I'm going to have to sing California Girls or something ridiculous.
California Girls. That's the one, right?
That's
They're
the one.
So incredible. That one?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you'll have the music going on behind you and all that stuff. Like
the karaoke lyrics and stuff.
Yeah,
too.
The karaoke version. Yep.
Isn't that a bit that Joe and Stratford, they used to do that on
it's completely unoriginal.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. What's original anymore?
Right. I mean, there's been... Find an original movie. Give me a break. Come on. So,
the last original movie that you saw?
Gone Girl.
Oh, really?
Because it was based on a book, right?
That's not original. It was based on a book. Like pure movie.
Pure original
movie. I got it. And I think it wasn't a book. And there's probably a lot in between, but this is the one that came right at the top of my head. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Pretty sure it was a book, wasn't it?
No way, was it?
Most things are books before they're...
No, you know. But I think
the book's always better.
No, who's the guy... do you remember Lost Adaptation?
Yeah, Adaptation. Yeah, the one with... what was that?
It was
with
Nicolas Cage, but it was about the... what is that? Adaptation. It's about the writer Kaufman. Oh, gosh.
That doesn't look like it was a book.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Charlie Kaufman. That's what it was. Charlie Kaufman, super, super eccentric, just original storyteller. And the movie Adaptation was literally a movie about him coming up with an idea. It was about Charlie Kaufman.
Being John Malkovich, maybe that was an
original movie. Being John Malkovich was that was one of his movies. And I feel like Eternal Sunshine.
I mean, look,
was one
there's classic movies all the time that are. You know, I mean, Tropic Thunder, that was not a book. You know what I mean?
No, but Tropic Thunder was a that was an old show.
What's it really? An old show?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm going to look it up. Tropic.
What was it? MASH?
Show.
I mean, what was
Did
it?
Did you know they're remaking MASH?
Yeah, I heard
Awful.
That. They're redoing everything.
Yeah, I mean.
Except for any Roseanne show.
I hated nothing more than MASH as a child.
Well, MASH meant the cartoons were over. Like, that's what it meant. Or wrestling was over, whatever came on before.
I'm pretty sure Tropic Thunder was like an entity before. It's to your point. There is not a lot of original content. You got to find like the weirdos, you know, the There's that one guy that makes just the worst movies. They're just the worst creepy movies.
Michael Bay.
Yeah. Oh God, they're doing Bumblebee. Remember the character?
Dude, I just saw a commercial for it.
I just saw the preview yesterday. Just saw it, and I was like, "Well, this is a problem." There's very, very. There's not a lot of
movies
content.
Make money, man. You know,
I mean, breaking news.
I mean, I say those movies make money. Those stupid. I mean, I don't know who goes to see them. I definitely did not go see Dinosaur Train. I've seen Transformers movies with Mark Wahlberg.
I haven't either. I was about to say, did you see the one where they had the dinosaurs in it? I only watch them when they're on TBS.
Dude, that was also the last time I went to go see a 3D movie because that movie gave me the biggest migraine ever. Like, I had to have somebody drive me home.
Really?
I don't know. It's something about those 3D glasses. So, really? I don't ever wear glasses ever. Like, I don't wear sunglasses. So, I'm always wearing a hat. I don't like that.
I gotta be honest with you. There's nothing worse than a 3D movie. Like, I don't know why we have it. Like, why is that a thing that's exciting? Like, when I saw...
I get a hologram.
Well, when I saw the new Avengers, like, the time I wanted to go, it was only in 3D, and I was like, damn it. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess. And I've actually seen, for some reason, I only see the Avenger movies in 3D, and every time I'm just like, this is so dumb.
I think that's why those movies exist. Like, I'm sure Jurassic World 3 or whatever it is would be much better with, you know, in 3D, but I won't go see it.
You know, the only movie that was in
3D. It'll be lame.
The only movie that was in 3D that I thought was, like, appropriate was Avatar, when Avatar came out. Like,
yeah,
that was a cool experience.
I saw that in 3D. You're right.
Everything else was dumb. Like, I don't need crazy action sequences. I feel like my brain is being scrambled. I'm like, oh, what's going on? I don't need
the
3D.
Why do I need the car to come out at me?
Yeah.
I can see it on the screen. It's fine.
I don't get it. Well,
do we sound like old men right now? I think we might sound like old men right now.
Yeah, old grumpy men. One thing we will not be seeing is Terrell Owens on the stand, at the podium.
In 3D.
Yeah, in 3D or 2D or NED, because he is not going to apparently be attending his inauguration into the Hall of Fame. He posted a statement like, this special day I decided I wanted to be doing something by myself or something, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, listen, I'm a super vindictive person. I got my anger issues and I don't let things go. I know, Bogman, we listened to this podcast and they were talking about this person not too long ago where they were like, man, this guy cannot let he will remember everything anyone's ever done wrong. And that's me. That is me. But not even I would go to the level that Terrell Owens is doing to be like, I'm not going to go to this day that's about me because what? Like, he didn't get in when he thought he should get in. It was a question mark. He didn't get the respect. I gotta be honest with you. This is not a good look. I didn't even know Terrell Owens had been inducted.
Dude, I don't know that he has. Maybe he has already, and I just don't know about it. But they used to do all that announcing and all that stuff right before the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think he's just saying that if he gets inducted, he won't go.
No, it says he got selected. We both didn't even know this.
Well,
right
when
here.
Did they change the date then?
USA Today, February 3rd. Terrell Owens, Hall
of Fame.
Oh, you
know what? Dude, I forgot. They announced it at the Super Bowl. He's already, but they haven't done the induction yet.
Yeah.
I'm dumb.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm
yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Because this was his third attempt, I think it's all about that. I think it's all that he wasn't a first ballot guy. Well, I mean, I absolutely agree.
Someone said this, and I think this is a great idea. Like, look, T.O. is doing this because he's irrelevant. That's not what they said. They said, you know what I want? I want him to do his induction speech from his driveway.
Driveway, sure. Agreed.
Yeah, Rosenthal
will be out there. Or whoever it was. Whoever,
yeah,
what's his agent?
Pedro Gomez.
Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus.
Oh, yeah. Drew wrote next question.
Next question.
Yeah. So do that. That would be hilarious.
I kind of just think they should skip him. Like, that's what I think.
I think they will.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
what,
nothing.
What else are they going to do?
Just nothing. I'll tell you this other thing, though. I also got to say, I kind of don't care. Like, everyone was making a huge deal about it this week. Like,
because it's never happened.
Yeah, but everyone's like tweeting like, classic T.O. Like, he's totally making about himself. He's totally vindictive. He's doing this because he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. 1,000% he's doing that.
But who cares, well, I don't know if it's that's the reason.
I think it's 100%.
I think the reason is just because he wants to become relevant again. And we're talking about him in June when this stuff doesn't happen until September. And we're making him relevant right now.
You think he'll change his mind?
Yes. I think this is a no. People will beg him. No, come on, man. I used to watch you, and I'm so excited for you to be in the Hall of Fame. Please, T.O., please come and give a speech. I want to see that and have that memory for the rest of my life and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what he wants. He wants people begging him to do stuff because he's a media whore.
I don't want to see this a-hole up on there wearing sunglasses up there, not looking at anybody. All it would be is more fodder for people to talk about. I don't care. He is irrelevant. Who cares? He's doing, like, I don't want to be, I mean, I guess I come off as a bitter 49er fan. It's just always a problem. He had great moments of 49ers. He's nothing but a problem his entire NFL. This whole I'll play for the league minimum to John Lynch this year is the biggest joke. Stop it. Please stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. Like, Chad Johnson, I would trust more. And Chad finally gave this up. The guy wants to coach. T.O. is one of the most just vindictive, unlikable players. As much as he, like, I think that guy really thinks how likable he is.
And he's never done anything horrific. You know what I mean?
Well, like, no, he didn't have Ray Lewis problems. You know, didn't stab anybody. Allegedly.
And he didn't, like, you know, beat up a girlfriend or anything like that. I don't remember him having any specific problems with the law. No. You know, he's just been a jerk. Yeah, his entire career.
He's an a-hole. A-hole to your quarterbacks, Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb. You are disrespectful for your team, disrespectful to other teams, disrespectful to the NFL. You're just you're completely unlikable. Very similar. He was like more unlikable Keyshawn Johnson. And that's what I'm going to remember about him.
Saying something.
Yeah, it is. And it's incredible. He's one of the few guys that has the ability to not give himself any redeeming qualities when you're going out at the end. Like, even guys we all could grow up and not like, or, you know, that have done things, can have emotional moments up there. T.O. is going to go down as one that, like, oh, even in the last minute, he made himself more unlikable. And I truly think it's because he wasn't a first ballot. And that's all that stuff. But at the same time, though, the people that are chastising him, like, shame on him and this, that, and the other thing, like, the guy wants to do it. Like, I don't care. This is totally on par with his personality. Why is anyone surprised?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like, are you really, really super shocked that this would happen? You know what I mean? Like,
what is this Hall of Fame class, by the way?
When Tom Brady doesn't show up to Bill Belichick's induction, are you going to be that shocked? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a great point. That's a really great point.
They're having all kinds of problems right now, so why would that be surprising?
Okay, so this class is... Wait, is this the finalists? I'm looking at the finalists here. This class
is over with. Like, he was
Beathard.
In,
so. Who's Beathard?
I don't know.
CJ Beathard? This is
definitely not CJ Beathard.
I don't see who that is. Okay. Let me go back here because I've got this all listed out here. Was it announced? There's the finalists. Simi did this, that, and the other thing. Okay.
Why can't you find it?
I don't know. Like, the internet's being, like, a problem. Okay, so you have, I don't know who Brazel is. I know who Brazzers is, but it says Brazel.
Brazzers.
Brian Dawkins. Jim yes. Cramer. Ray Lewis. Is that Ray Lewis?
Yep.
Santana.
Urlacher.
Randy Moss, Brian Urlacher, and Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
That's a... Why do we bring so many people in the class? There should be like three people.
Well, I think they have the five player list, and then they have three past inductees.
I don't like that. So, that's way too many.
Well, it's because the Hall of Fame wasn't open forever. So
trying to catch up.
Know. Yeah. Well, to put guys that deserve, like, Cramer deserves to go in. He has to go in. So T.O., Moss, Urlacher, Ray Lewis, and Brian Dawkins
really deserve to go in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Really?
I'm very good for a very long time.
I mean, I love Brian Dawkins. He was fun to watch, but did he?
And the Eagles, remember how good the Eagles were when Andy Reid was the coach there?
Let's see.
They were constantly losing in the NFC Championship.
Career 37 interceptions. 36 forced fumbles.
9,000 tackles.
One touchdown. And yeah, let's look at tackles here. Where are tackles? Tackles, tackles. Yeah, a decent amount of tackles. 895, played from 1996 to 2011. I don't know. Maybe I must be skewed a little bit. I look at these and I'm like, these are good numbers, but
he's also the leader of that defense that was really good for really.
Don't seem like Hall of Fame numbers to me. But whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to get an argument about it. I'm just saying like these don't look like Hall of Fame numbers. But I mean, it would be better if I could compare it to other safeties. And maybe that's that whole stat generation that it's getting inflated now. Maybe. But you know, like 3 interceptions a year, 60 tackles a year. It looks very, very consistent. But like when I think of Hall of Fame, I don't think of Brian Dawkins. I do think of Randy Moss. I do think of Ray Lewis. I kind of think of Terrell Owens, kind of. I kind of think of Brian
Terrell
Urlacher.
Owens finished his career and he was like number 2 in everything. So he's got to go in. He was behind Rice, and then Moss passed him, right?
Let's look.
Isn't that how it happened?
Yeah, he's you're right. He's number, well, Larry Fitzgerald is going to pass him this year, which is fantastic.
Right, right.
Jerry Rice, 22,895 receiving yards. Terrell Owens, 15,000. I love that 7,000 yards behind is the next guy. Terrell Owens surpassed Randy Moss by only 700 yards. Larry Fitzgerald is going to become number 2 on the list. Isaac Bruce, Tony Gonzalez, Tim Brown, Steve Smith, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. Those are your top 10 wide receivers.
I'm still my hat, Marvin.
Yeah, I'm still my hat, Marvin. Yeah, I mean, T.O., it's a no-doubter. And that's why when you look at that type of stuff, I honestly think this is that kickback to the NFL to say, dude, I was number 2 wide receiver of all time, and why did it take 3 times? It was because people don't like me?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Screw you. I'm going to do what I want, and that's what he's doing. All I care is thank God.
I mean, you're probably right.
That's T.O. But I think you're right that I think we could see him change his mind. What are the odds he changes his mind?
I think they're close to 100%.
I would say it's 60% he changes his mind by then, because he's going to want – the attention is off of him by then, and it'll be coming – and he'll want it back, so he will show up, and everyone will say, what's T.O. going to do? What's he going to do? All right, well, don't go anywhere. We'll be back. We got a ton more stuff to talk about. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. Don't go anywhere.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where you can listen to us on the app, you can listen to us on TuneIn, you can listen to us on iHeartRadio. How cool is that? You got lots of options.
In a boat, on a plane, on a log?
In the fog? You're supposed to keep going. It's
with
done.
With Bogman?
It's done. It's done now. Thank you. But, Bogman, if you play DFS and you haven't tried mybookie.ag player props, then you are missing out, my friend. Especially as the world of gambling is going to open up to all of us. Their player prop tool allows you to avoid sharks winning 90% of the money in DFS. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Go to mybookie.ag, open up a new account, enter the promo code FNTSY, and you will receive a 50% deposit. Super simple. Go to mybookie.ag. Can't even say it. Go to mybookie.ag, open a free account, Enter the promo code FNTSY. You get 50% deposit bonus. Click on the player props tool. Choose your player prop. Collect your winnings. That's mybookie.ag. Enter promo code FNTSY.
We need that DJ Moore versus Julian Edelman prop.
Ooh, could we do that? Could we create our own props over there?
Let's do it.
I mean, the odds, 70% Julian Edelman right now. Well,
That's odds you get. You know what? You should have to sing two songs.
No, I mean, that's over with now. But you were getting, I mean, you to get,
saying.
What would that be, like 4-1 on your money right now? Betting on DJ Moore?
That would be, no, 7-3. I'd be more like 2-1.
Oh, okay. I was told there wouldn't be.
A little over 2-1.
Yeah? Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, that's why I just said you should sing two songs.
No. Should have set that. Now you're trying to change the rules on the bet, Bogdan.
No, I'm not. I said you should. I didn't say you will.
Yeah. I'd say if it's and butts were candies and nuts, then we should have a Merry Christmas. But
that's right.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work.
You know, not going to have a Merry Christmas. Shohei Ohtani owners, because
no.
I don't know. I think I'm... He's going to have Tommy John, right?
Second
grade UCL strain.
I'd make noises. That's all I feel about it. It's not good. A second grade. He's getting worse grades as we go. Jeff Passan had reported.
I like how it was a blister, and now he's going to have Tommy John. Like, thank God Rich Hill doesn't work under the same things, right?
Oh, my God.
He had undergone 13 Tommy John surgeries.
They'd rename Tommy John the Rich Hill, for sure. I mean, the Rich Hill definitely is code for blister. It has to be, right? It has to be. But
I got a blister when I was doing this rope thing.
Yeah, Jeff Passan in the preseason had reported that Ohtani had a grade one UCL, right? UCL,
yeah,
strain. But you know, they were comfortable with it, and he was gonna be able to work through it. Then you get this blister issue, blister god, and then we now have reports that Shohei Ohtani has a grade two UCL sprain, which has the potential to lead to Tommy John.
And
huge
he's
problem.
Already went and got the stem cells. And
now, I thought he was getting them. I didn't know he already got them.
Well, either he's getting them or he's already got them. Either way, that's scheduled to happen. So here's a tweet from John Riggle. He's at MLB player analysis. Recorded UCLA stem cell injections with results. Andrew Haney, Tommy John surgery 2 months later. Garrett Richards, no Tommy John, but back 11 months later. Ruby De La Rosa, back 9 months later, then Tommy John surgery 2 months after. Yimi Barsoban, I don't know who that is, back 7 months later. JC Ramirez, back 7 months later, and then Tommy John surgery 2 weeks after that.
That's not a good list.
It's not a good list to be on.
No.
So, I mean, this is rough because, and this is also complicated because he's the two-way player. So you have Tommy John surgery. We know it's different recovery time for a hitter, so he could be back and hitting sooner. But would you even want him to? Because I believe the purpose of bringing an Ohtani over is to have him pitch, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the main purpose, is for him to be an ace on this staff while also contributing on the offensive end. You were right, I was just looking. He had the platelet whatever blood thing on Thursday, and then they're saying he's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. So right at the end of June, we're going to get the report of where he's at, which to me what that determines is, well, I shouldn't say that. I was about to say, you feel like they're going to be like, yes, he's coming back in a couple weeks, or he's having Tommy John. They may keep trying to press this, kind of like the Masahiro Tanaka thing. Just give it time. It's going to heal itself. Even though I saw our guy Ryan Spader talking about that there was positive reports from this injection that he had, that this is something that has worked before. But I don't know, man. I mean, the problem is if they do this, though, you'll lose Ohtani all next year. You'd almost be better off if they think the healing process, and this doesn't help fantasy owners for this year, but this is the long-term play. Tommy John is the absolute worst case scenario, nothing is working piece.
Right.
The second part of it, which I think is a very likely scenario, is they look at this and say, listen, this is not going to get fixed in a month or 2 months. We're going to shut him down for the season, and we're going to try not to lose him next year.
That's
so,
the That's the 7 month deal, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like they
a
just
a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, they just he rests until February. You know, I mean, he works out in January, February. You let him fully try to get that repaired, keep the injections, and you lose him the entirety of this season. For redraft owners right now, this is one of the biggest quandaries because we are rampant with injuries right now. Every league I'm in, I've got at least four guys that are dealing with a DL issue right now. Some I'm able to put on the DL. Some I'm taking up bench spots because they're good. Shohei Ohtani is a serious candidate to maybe be cut for the rest of the year. And I know that's hard to say that in June, but the 3 week, he's not coming back after the 3 weeks. People need to understand that. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks,
right,
which could mean they hold him out maybe post All-Star break. And when he comes back, there's no way they're going to give him a full workload and the hitting. So the pitching is going to go down. They'll probably skip starts, more days in between. I could see less hitting, so they're not aggravating. I think this is a serious problem of getting out while you still can in redraft, and I despise saying that.
Well, at least in Yahoo, you have to have two. If you were the team that drafted Shohei Ohtani before they decided to do all the stuff with him, and so you got both sides of Shohei Ohtani, at least you have to use two DL spots. That's nice, isn't it?
Such a joke,
you mentioned 3 weeks and then reevaluation, not 3 weeks and then back.
No.
So what's the best case scenario? 3 weeks and then another 3 weeks?
I think best case scenario, when is the All-Star game? Isn't it like mid-July?
Yeah, you know, usually July 10th-ish.
When is All-Star? I don't know if this will actually come up for MLB. It did. Nope, it did not. I just want to get the exact date here, which I am... July
17th.
Okay, thank you, Jesus. So July 17th. I say there is no chance he comes back before the All-Star break. There's no reason for them to do that. Even if the 3 weeks, they're going to want him to take it easy. You're building into the All-Star break. He comes back post All-Star break. So you're talking about five to six weeks from now. And then he comes back and he's going to be babied. There's no doubt in my mind that he is not going to be given the Ohtani schedule that he had before. They're going to, you know, remember they did the whole performance management thing with him?
Right.
They are going to push him back, which the serious consideration is what can you possibly really do with him in redraft at this point, especially if he's taking up one or two DL spots. I would look to see if I could move on from him because there's not devastating result. Maybe not today, you know, these next couple days while, it's hard.
If you move him, it's got to be fairly soon.
What I'm getting at. But like, just give it a couple days. So this whole like, hey, he's, you know, I have Tommy John kind of goes away. So you're getting closer to reevaluation. I'm almost at the point you just get what you get for him. Because if you're in a smaller league, this is a much easier move. If you're in a bigger league, I don't know where you go with it. I mean, it's hard to say cut Shohei Ohtani in a 16-man league when you're only
to be honest,
are
in a bigger
nothing.
League, I think I would, or in a smaller league, I mean, I would just hold to see what happens, you know, because you're not going to get much more.
I think you will.
You're not going to get a better offer than what you're going to get off the wire anyway.
Oh, I'm even talking cutting. That's where I meant. I meant like in a smaller league, you might have better options on the wire right now.
Right.
You could
right.
just cut them and just get, especially if you're having the DL. This is moot if you have DL options. It's 100% moot. You just put them on the DL. But I think
see how it plays out, yeah.
In Keeper Dynasty, I mean, what do you do, man? Usually I would advocate for holding on, but this is messy.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? You think he's going to have Tommy John?
I don't. I'm leaning that he's not going to have Tommy John, but I do think it's likely he could be shut down for the season.
This kind of report was floating out about before the season started that, you know, Shohei Ohtani has UCL damage and you know, our guy Spore made the point, and I'm still with him on this, that like, hey, look, you know, any single pitcher you look at in the major leagues is going to have some form of UCL damage, right? It's not natural to throw as hard as you can, 100 times in a day. You know what I mean? So, sure, that stuff is going to happen. But there could have been a little bit of this beforehand that the Angels obviously knew about. And then this stuff happened, And maybe it's just an inevitability. I mean, you know, what the one case that we have where it wasn't Tommy John surgery, there's really like one or two, is Tanaka. You know what I mean? Yeah. I guess you could say the other one is Garrett Richards.
I think he just got pulled from a game too.
Yeah, he did. He tagged up from third going to home, and he pulled his hamstring. So, and then Strasburg got hurt last night also.
That's going to lead us to another conversation I want to have in the next segment. But let me throw one thing at your quick box.
Okay.
The Angels are 5 to 6 games out of the West right now. What if over the next 2 weeks they lose some of that? Athletics are behind them. Astros and Mariners are fighting for the division. What if by the time, I'm just throwing this out here, that this conversation of Ohtani and where the injury is, they are multi-games out, 10, 11 games out. It's almost July. You're getting close to the All-Star break. The Angels are built to win, but the window, I don't think, goes much beyond after next season. So you're still got to get that window for next year. You went out, you got Pujols for however long you still have him. You've got Ian Kinsler. This isn't a 3-year plan with those guys. I think the Angels could look and say, we can't risk this. We got to have them for next year based on what we have. We're shutting them down. I'm not saying they're going to sell off. They're still going to compete, but they're going to tell us we need to get this repaired or we lose him next season. I think it's very likely they shut him down for the year.
Yeah.
And I'm not a doctor. I'm an idiot, so I don't know anything. But I just
I did say at a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, but you just got to tread lightly with it. I've been the biggest advocate of Shohei Ohtani this entire season, even when people with the little struggles in season, some people wanted to cut him. No, keep going. This is a different conversation. Where when Tommy John is looming and you have this type of injury and the team construction of the Angels, that's what makes me think I don't think they're going to want to. I don't. If they're not in close contention and they don't want to risk next year, why not just shut him down to be healthy for 2019?
The only reason that you don't is, and this is why we have to wait that 3 weeks to figure it out, is when they look at him in 3 weeks and say, well, this is, you're just not avoiding Tommy John surgery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, if you do have to do it, why not do it as soon as possible to get him back as soon as possible?
Well, and they would. I mean, if they look and there has been absolutely nothing that has come from it, no, you know, positive signs of repair or anything like that, that's probably where they look and they say, we're going to have to do Tommy John.
It's a scary 3 weeks. That's like getting your STD test back.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know you're good.
Maybe another one of those tests that are even a little bit scarier. And, you know, like those tests, you're just waiting.
Paternity tests?
Yeah, not right. One of those, but like the other ones that people might have, you know, like the other 3-letter ones, 4-letter ones.
STD tests?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with STD. Yeah, sure. I'll tell you on the break box. Any of those tests.
Apparently, I'm not following.
The really scary test. Maybe the scariest one that you could possibly... I've never had it.
Pregnancy test.
Yeah, sure. Any scary test that you have to wait
That's
for.
That's the worst STD there is.
Okay.
That's 18 years.
I got two of them. it is. It's going to be a rough 3 weeks. I will say this, though. This is important to acknowledge. Zero shares. Zero shares of Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man. That caught me off guard, man.
I have one share of Shohei
Ohtani.
I have no UCLA issues. UCLA. Yeah, or
no
UCLA.
No Josh Rosen issues.
No Trevor Bauer issues whatsoever.
No Chip Kelly issues.
Nope.
Or the Welsh at all for this season. Yeah, man, I've got him in, and this is the best part. I have him in a 20-man league.
It's not a keeper, though, right?
No, it's not a keeper.
Oh,
but
it's a crybaby roto,
you know,
right?
It's the crybaby roto league. So that's the one where I have him. And by the way, I need him as a hitter because my other hitter besides him is Kendrys Morales, who is terrible this season.
Guess who your new hitter is? Kendrys Morales. That's your new starter.
My new hitter is whoever comes up from the minors next. That's who it is. So
yeah,
Bowers is probably going to be my next new hitter, for God's sake.
So
yeah, this is a problem.
This is where this leads to a conversation I want to have in the next segment. You alluded to it, where Masahiro Tanaka gets hurt tagging up. Steven Strasburg hurt. But a lot of this, I think, it wasn't from hitting, I don't believe, was it?
No, I don't think so. I think he left in the middle of an inning.
The injury thing, it's always a problem. But on Friday night, a huge scuttlebutt started up on the internet, on the interwebs, on the Twitters, I think solely because of the Masahiro Tanaka issue, where it was nonstop people adding MLB and saying, we need the DH in both leagues.
Well, that was Tanaka. Tanaka was the tag.
Yeah, the tag up. And that sparked all. And I think overall injuries, people seeing all the pitchers hurt, then you see one go down, and it became a huge sparking debate about we need the DH in the NL. And the NL, and I feel like it's been a little bit quiet on that front for a couple years, and it's really, really popped up. So maybe we can talk about it for a minute. Because I do think, you know, we spend so much time figuring out how do we adjust the game where we have pitchers getting hitting stats. What if it gets bypassed completely and we start looking at a situation where all we're doing is we're putting hitters in the pitcher spot? So it's purely just a situation where a pitcher is able to hit in any division, NL or AL. They can do it.
You just hurt my brain. I'm not sure where I am now.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about the NL. We're going to talk about the AL, and we're going to talk about where the DH sits when we come back. Don't go anywhere. That's Scott Bogman. Whether his head hurts or not, I'm Chris Wells. This is In This League.
I need a four-letter test that I don't know what it is.
Okay. You're going to be like, oh, that one, as soon as I tell you. Come on.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In This League.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In This League.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember. Welcome back. It is remember. In This League. Right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also heard on the iHeartRadio app and TuneIn. All the places. And if you missed any of it, you can go listen to it on demand over on Spotify or iTunes or really anywhere that you listen. Just search In This League. Not only will you find the FNTSY version of our show, which we're doing right now, you will see all the podcasts that we do. You'll see my show, Prospect One, the In This League Fantasy Baseball, Basketball, Football. You'll see the College Show. There's so much that we do, and we would love for you to join our little universe. And Bogman, we did a great job, because I just got to get it out of my system here. But we did a great job going almost 2 hours not mentioning the championships that were won. new Stanley Cup champion and new NBA Finals champion. We are going to talk about that next hour. Yeah. Well, I mean, like this year. I get what you're saying. Rainy hour. Yeah. Continuously reigning NBA champion. We will talk about both championships on the other side of this hour. But we were talking about the DH in the potential conversation of the DH in the NL. Now, what I was saying before, which you got lost on, is I was simply saying, like, we have so much focus on, like, pitchers and how do we incorporate pitchers into the hitting side of baseball, because the NL has that, even though the AL is the one that is, ironically enough, incorporating pitchers into hitting. If the DH were to be part of the NL, do you think that would change any team's, like, view of players like Madison Bumgarner? Maybe into the hitting? Or do you think what it simply does is it's just going to open up more jobs for hitting prospects? It would change the game. There could no longer be that whole, like, oh yeah, you know, AL pitchers going to NL is easier, this, that, and the other thing. It levels the playing field, and there'd be a lot more offensive weapons that would be sitting out there in the NL.
Right. I mean, there would be, but you'd have less relievers. There'd be less strategy. That's the thing that people hate. They like the pinch hitters. They like, you know, bringing in a lefty on lefty matchup, like the little nuanced things in the game. That's why people are always upset by hearing that the NL would want to go to a DH. Whatever it is, I just want it to be uniform throughout baseball. So the AL is not giving up the DH. So just put it in the NL. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, so I, you I'm just not... want one of you don't like want them to just, hey, just stick with what you got. You want it's one or the other.
One or the other.
I can appreciate that.
Take it out or put it in both leagues. You know, I like it's an interesting part of the game, and we'll be able to talk about it for a long time and say, hey, you know, we were around when this happened. And, you know, there was only the DH in the American League to, you know, our kids and stuff. But it's going away. It's not going to last forever. It's definitely going to go away.
Oh, you think so? Because I like 100%. Baseball is the traditionalist of traditionalist sport. I had a hard time believing it's ever going to be bought into.
I don't know, man. I just think you have all these injuries happening. What baseball wants more of is runs than anything. And if you can take a pitcher out and add in a great hitter, or, you know, a guy that would normally be given a day off, like a great, great hitter on an NL team. Like, you know, you see Goldie get the day off every once in a while. Who the hell wants to buy a ticket to the game where Goldie has a day off? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to see that guy hit a bomb.
I mean, I agree with that. Like, the idea of giving a guy a rest on the field and then popping him over as a DH is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, you want to be on that Sunday day game where Nolan Arenado gets the day off?
I mean, it's the worst thing on the planet. You know, the other thing...
DH him.
The other thing, too, which is interesting, is like... So in the MLB draft that just went down, there's this really, really popular prospect who, as a freshman... People immediately were like, this guy's going to be the number one player. I'm talking about Seth Beer from Clemson. And everyone was like, this is going to be the number one player drafted in 2018, this, that, and the other thing. He had some kind of downish years. But one of the biggest issues with him, not only is he a little bit slow and stuff, but he really has like no home, no defensive home. He's not a great defender whatsoever. But what was interesting in the draft is he was taken by the Astros. And when you look at a team like the Astros taking him, you're like, well, this is fantastic. Like, he can just DH. You know, maybe right. He throws a little bit of first base in, but he's got a home immediately where, you know, we do put a lot of focus on players that don't have a defensive home and make a big hubbub about it. But when they're playing for AL teams, there's always a place. The same thing with Willie Calhoun. When he was a Dodger, everyone's like, this dude is not a second baseman. And then he gets traded to the AL where they're trying him, the Rangers are trying him as a left fielder or a DH. I'm all about the uniformity, but I think it will take, I don't know what it will take for people to be comfortable with that, because it changes the game, the history of the game, and NL purists. I mean, I can get over it in a minute.
Money, you know, the losing money and the audience is going down because not enough runs are scored. You know what I mean? That's what it's going to
well,
be.
They made the change. If you read that, you know, that article in The Athletic, that they do a study on baseballs and they showed the seams are, what is it, like 9% higher, which, you know, from a science perspective, that is going to make the ball fly further. The further right. The seams are out. And they found it 9%.
I mean, if they're willing to F with the ball to make it 9%, you know, to make the ball go further, why not just take one more step? This is what I would say 70% of fans want, right?
Yeah, just like how do you make it happen?
But 70%, you put it to a vote. You know what I mean? You know, you say, hey, this is what we're looking for. We want this to be uniform. We want DHs for everybody. We're tired of seeing our best hitters in the league miss time on taking hacks or running from third. You remember who was that? The big dumb idiot who broke his ankle in Chin-Ming Wong. He was playing when the Astros were still in the NL. They were playing a game in Houston, and he slid into home and busted his ankle and was never the same guy again ever. And he was a decent prospect, you know, pitcher.
I mean, I would never get tired of not seeing a pitcher hitting eight and then a hitter hitting nine. Like, I get that. I like it. From a fantasy perspective and from that selfishness, you got to kind of like the idea of a DH coming in. It leads to more fantasy options. It leads to more hitting options for players. It, like you kind of said with injuries, it's kind of a way to go. I just feel like it's one of those like deaf ears conversations we have. A guy gets hurt, a pitcher gets hurt, and then the entire world blows up about how we need the DH in the NL, and I don't see a path for it to happen. What are the odds it happens in the next 10 years?
In the next 10 years?
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good in the next 10 years. I would say next 5 years is probably where you really have the fight, You know what I mean?
Oh, you think so?
Like the arguments and all that stuff, like the push. You know what I mean? Like it just really depends. Like, I don't think somebody hurting their hamstring running from third to home. I mean, look, you know, guys can't get over blisters right now. So, I mean, a big argument is like, look, these pitchers just get hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the laces thing, too, by the way, is like there are more blisters than there have ever been. But people are looking, well, what's changed with the ball? And, OK, you find a 9% lace change of it being tighter and higher. Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And you get more blisters and stuff like that. So I don't know, man. Like, I think that the argument's going to be made. But if we have a rash of pitchers being hurt because they're hitting, you know, we have lat strains. We have guys getting beamed in the head. We've got guys, blowing out their ankle and knee, running the bases, stuff like that. Like, if there's a big, huge rash of this happening, then I think Major League Baseball really has to take a look and say, hey, this needs to change. We can't have our best, you know, we can't have our best guys being hurt on the base paths. They need to be out there pitching. This is what brings guys, people to the stadium.
I do think
to watch on TV.
I think there would have to be something along the lines of they'd have to give a window of like, this is happening in 2 years or 3 years, because you have to be respectful to the idea as well. The teams are not necessarily prepared for it. Like, I look at a team like the Diamondbacks, there's no true viable DH. A team like the Cubs, they'd be like, oh my God, Kyle Schwarber, get him to the DH quickly. This is incredible for us. Teams are not designed. So I don't think it can ever be something like, hey, yeah, this upcoming season, the DH is moving. It'll be a couple years in the working. I do agree the fight will always continue, but I do think it's a little bit deaf ears. It'd be great for fantasy. I don't think we see
it's
it in
either
the next
like
10 years, though.
The next 10 years, or it'll have to happen 40 years when all the old people that love it are dead.
When we're
dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when we're dead. So, you told me something. Speaking of DHs, and the, you know, the argument, this guy does not help for this argument, by the way. One of these players that is, you know, ideally you're putting great hitters that aren't great defensively there, but sometimes we come across players that are bad at everything somehow, yet they still have a job. Talk to us about this tweet that went out about Baltimore Orioles Chris Davis.
I don't know where I saw this. I think I saw it on Reddit. I could have seen it in our IT Army group me room, but somebody posted this, and Dan, I'm going to try it. Zimborski. Szymborski.
Rizzo.
He tweeted this out. It's pretty frightening to be an on pace for the worst season of all time by a large margin when you're nearing mid-June. Chris Davis is on pace for WAR in F4 would rank him 81,892. Out of 81,892 player seasons since 1901 by nearly a full win. And this was tweeted out on June 6th, so it wasn't that long ago.
So he
now,
would,
before we say anything about the DH, I looked, and Chris Davis has spent most of his time at first base. So I'm sure that a little bit of this is also fielding. But
could have the worst season of any Major League Baseball player of all time.
Of all time, according to F4, which is what a lot of guys, you know, a lot of stat heads like to use to, you know, put together all time seasons and stuff like that. You know, I know I've made this joke to Welsh, not running too many leagues with F4, are you?
No, not too many F4 leagues. I just want to point something out, though. So he's on pace to have the worst F4 of any player all time.
Ever.
He currently is hitting 152. That's incredible. Guess how much money he's making this year?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Isn't it like $18 million?
$23 million.
Oh, my God.
Guess how much he's making next year?
24?
$23 million. Guess how much he's making 2020?
No. They didn't sign him that long, did they?
$23 million. Guess how much he's making in 2021?
No! How long? When is he a free agent? $23 million.
Guess how much he's making in 2022?
No way.
Yep. He's a free agent in 2023, making $23 million through 2022.
Good God.
Can you imagine?
No wonder they're still throwing him out there.
What do you do? What do you do? Do you just sit him down and go, listen, Chris, like, it's not you, it's me. But we can't pay you this money. Like, can
no,
we?
No, I mean, you're contractually obligated to pay him this
no,
money.
No, he's got to agree to a buyout. You got to buy him out. Like, listen, we'll pay you through 2020, but we're going to cut you right now because we are going to bench you.
I think what you say is you say, hey, look, you know, either you agree to a buyout here and or you retire.
Or we kill you.
Or, well, not kill you, but or your steroid test is going to be found positive.
Oh, yeah, we're going to release the Adderall information. Yeah, we know a guy that knows a guy, Chris, is what we're getting at.
Same guy that we got Ryan Braun with, we're coming out with you. So what's going to happen.
They've got to, like, say, listen, we're never going to put you in the starting lineup again. So, you know, and we're going to, you can collect this money, but you'll never play again.
Who would you rather have on your team? Would you rather have Chris Davis or Ryan Anderson from the Rockets? Because they're both making over $20 million.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Ryan Anderson. He does something.
Yeah. He flips that towel on the bench real nice.
Well, he's got one skill set. Chris Davis has no skill sets whatsoever. That's outside of striking out. He has struck out.
He's got to take some of that money and lobby to make Adderall legal in Major League Baseball, right?
I mean, you should be fighting some cause. So I need to see what his strikeout percentage is because holy crap.
50%.
I think it's close. He is striking out
30%.
36.8% of the time.
God.
Oh, my God. With a 228 BABIP hitting 152. How does this guy ever play another game in baseball?
You know why? Because he's going to make $80 million more dollars before he's done.
I don't know what his F war is, but he's got a negative 1.8 war. You know WRC plus, which is about like
the soda?
Yeah, not RC plus. You know WRC plus about, you know, like replacement. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it? 100 is like the average marker?
Right, right.
He's a 26.
26.
He's the worst player in baseball. There's no.
What's the next worst?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not looking at like the
41. Lewis Brinson.
What is Billy Hamilton?
Ooh. Oh, he's fifth worst.
Yeah.
At 57.
Chris Davis.
Scott Kingery's fourth at 56.
Oh, really? Without argument. Oh, can you sort by WAR real quick? Who has the worst WAR?
I can take a look. Yeah.
Okay. Without argument. And maybe until you tell me this WAR, there is no worse player in Major League Baseball than Chris Davis.
No. And that was the point. Like, he's the worst player to play since 1901.
Of all time. He's the worst player to have played all time.
He's the worst player to have played all time, but he's having the worst season.
I got to tell you, I don't know if you can even argue it's the worst contract of all time.
What's worse than that?
I know. That's what I'm asking you.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Bobby Bonilla?
Arroyo. Oh, my God, dude. Okay, so Chris Davis is negative 1.8 war.
Okay.
Ian Desmond is second worst at negative 0.9. So literally cut it in half.
It's a full win worse than any other player
in
baseball.
There are only 20 players that own a negative war. 19 players that own a negative war. Jay Bruce, Jose Perella, and Adam Duvall are all sitting at a solid zero. Alcides Escobar is negative. Carlos Gomez, Logan Morrison, Trey Mancini. By the way, Trey Mancini, who is another, I guess he plays outfield, but, you know, he can play first base a little bit too. At least he qualified in Yahoo. He might have just tripped over first base one time. Albert Pujols, that could be a contract that's worse than Chris Davis.
Oh, what is he making?
I don't know, but it's a lot, and he is at he's one of the 19 players with negative WAR right now.
What is it? Negative what?
Negative. It's only negative 0.1, but it's still negative.
All right,
only 19 guys.
Well, this is pretty bad. 2018 making $27 million, $19, $28 million, 2020 $29 million, 2021. $30 million.
That's worse.
And it says contract also includes a 10-year, $10 million personal services clause. What does that mean? That's like a writer in a contract. Like, I want blue Skittles or whatever. So the only difference is there's one more. Actually, I think if you add up the money, Chris Davis is maybe a tad bit more still. Because
because he was 23 every year. This is 30, 28, 29, 30.
But there's an extra year on it. Until 2022.
Yeah,
it's close.
So he is more money.
And right. Chris Davis is way worse, so I don't know. All right, don't go anywhere. Hour 3, we're going to talk about the championships that were won. So don't go anywhere. It's In This League.